Have you dreamed of going to the Holy Land and see the places that you've read about in the Bible? Hi, this is Governor Mike Huckabee. Join Western Journalism and me for the Israel Experience 2016. You'll experience the land of the Old Testament and the Gospels, the complex and beautiful land that was the setting for the teachings, the battles, and the miracles of the Bible. During your Israel experience, you'll walk where Jesus walked, sit atop the Mount of Beatitudes, and pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. You'll explore the old city of Jerusalem and swim in the Dead Sea. Join me and embrace the great beauty and spiritual significance of this land. Go to IsraelExperience2016.com/Western Journalism. Airfare to Israel, five-star hotel accommodations, all meals, fees, and even tips are included in this journey that'll change your life. IsraelExperience2016.com/Western Journalism. Come to Israel this year.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
No longer interested in things that they usually enjoy. Another thing is if someone is quicker to anger or more easily irritable, they might be drinking or using more drugs.
Dr. Wendy Tanula at the Department of Veterans Affairs says effective mental health treatments are available to veterans.
Such as cognitive processing therapy and prolonged exposure therapy for PTSD, cognitive behavior therapy for depression, and other mental health therapies as well.
You can learn more at MakeTheConnection.net. A major beauty supply company says its payment card system has been hacked for a second time. Sally Beauty Supply said this morning they have evidence to confirm that an illegal breach has occurred in their system. It's the second breach in a little more than a year for the Texas company. I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they'll live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their own terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within your reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services, Incorporated. Member FINRA and SIPC.
On today's program, I'll be talking about why personal credit scores can be misleading, how to build your business through public speaking, how to use Twitter marketing for small business, how great managers engage their employees. I'll have three tips to get PR for your company and the four critical website mistakes most businesses are making. It's Thursday, May 14th, 2015, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business.
And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. But first, a check of the weather. What a gorgeous day outside. Make sure after you listen to this program, you get out there and enjoy some of this beautiful sunshine. It's currently 61 degrees at 12:04, and for today, more sun with a high of 73 and a low of 43. For tomorrow, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 74 and a low of 54. For Saturday, mostly sunny skies with a high of 83 and a low of 59. And for Sunday, mostly sunny skies and a high of 83. Current check of the financial market shows the Dow is up 156.98 to 18,217.47. The NASDAQ up 47.34 to 5,029.03. S&P 500 up 15.64 to 2114.12. Oil is down 42 cents to $60.08 per barrel. Gold is up $3.80 to $1,222 per ounce.
Woman, I am the cavalry.
Yes, I am. Well, glad that you could join us again for another edition of Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com. Glad to join you every Thursday. Wanted to thank Michaela and Chris Birdieshaw from Fimble Doors for joining us last week. To me, it was a great program because it was very educational on products that you don't necessarily think about all that much, and those are your garage doors. You think about it when the door doesn't go up or when the motor breaks, but taking a look at their website and looking at the beautiful doors, my wife told me when I got home that night, so when do we get our new doors? And when I started, you know, talking about all the different features and everything, I think she got a little interested. And from what they were telling us, it's not terribly expensive. And again, when we talked about the curb appeal of your home, one of the things that for my house, being that I have two garage doors facing front, is that close to 20 to 25% of the front facade of my house is garage doors. So why not take a look at them and see whether or not yours needs improving as well. Usually we take this time to get caught up and see what's going on, what happened over the last week. I did want to mention I went to a friend's daughter's wedding over the weekend. The wedding was in Hoboken. The reception was in Jersey City, right on the waterfront. And with the exception of the fact that the fog was in and, you know, even the Freedom Tower, you could only see about 30 or 40 of the floors of the Freedom Tower. The fog was so low, but it did give a nice little aura to the whole skyline because all the lights were bouncing back off the clouds, so that was nice. A great DJ at the wedding, a beautiful wedding ceremony, and so congratulations to Maggie and Joe on their wedding, and congratulations to the mother and father of the bride. John and Mary Jane Jacobs had a great time at that wedding, and Sunday just continued with that good feeling here. You just saw a couple get married. Everything was good. I was in a good mood all day Sunday, and that carried over into Monday until right about 4 o'clock. And then something happened in my store that has literally ticked me off for 4 straight days. And, you know, you talk about biorhythms and you talk about you know, biofeedback and stuff like that. I am in some kind of a negative turn here because this has just been the week from hell right now. So on Monday, the sewer in our store backed up into the back of my store, and it smells horrible. And you can imagine whatever goes into the sewer was coming out of the drain in the back of my store. Called the landlord. Hey, we'll send somebody right over. Well, this is the 28th time in 6 years that this has happened. So I just lost it. So I went off on the landlord. This time I CC'd the owner of the building, and finally he got on board and he said, we're going to fix this, whatever it takes, no matter how much it costs, we've got to fix this. This is not, you know, sanitary and it's not good for you. But the abject indifference of the property manager really got to the point now where I'm just so pissed off. Maybe the rent check gets sent this month, maybe it doesn't. But it's just absolutely infuriating that instead of doing the right thing, doing what's right, fixing the plumbing problem so it doesn't happen again, they put a Band-Aid on what I can only classify as an amputation. I mean, it's not going to stop what's happening. And, you know, so when the property, and he's going to show up, the property manager's going to show up next week, all smiles, hey, how you doing? And I'm like, get the hell out of my store because I'm just done with him. I can't deal with him. Dealing with the owner now, and if he's going to take care of the problem, great. And then it was just like one after another all week long, something going wrong. And I'm like, we really have to change our luck here. And, So then today I'm working on a project, getting done, and one of the ladies in my store goes, is today Thursday? I'm like, yeah, today's Thursday. And this was like quarter to 12. And she goes, don't you normally do something on a Thursday? And I'm still working on this particular project. And I go, what are you talking about? She goes, don't you have a radio show in 10 minutes? I go, oh, yeah, maybe I should go over there. So here I am. And again, if you get a chance, it is a beautiful day outside. So whether you want to take a late lunch, go sit in a park or something like that, absorb this sunshine because it is just absolutely beautiful out there. And make sure you get to enjoy part of this day. I think when I get home, I might just take a little cruise, not in my 1948 Plymouth, but on my Sears Craftsman lawnmower and cut the lawn because I just want to be outside in the fresh air. It's a beautiful day. Now, getting into the program, taking care of business, I came across an article that I thought was interesting because in talking with other business owners, there seems to be a problem with getting any kind of loans or financing for anything, whether it's a new business or an existing business that just needs working capital. Banks are taking way too long. They're taking up to 2 and 3 months to make decisions. So this article came across my desk about why your personal credit score can be misleading when measuring your business credit worthiness. And for the vast majority of small business owners in the United States, your personal credit score will likely always be part of the equation whenever you apply for a small business loan. And while some lenders, like traditional bankers, may weigh the score heavier than online lenders or other non-traditional lenders, they all want to know, what is your score? So here are three reasons why a personal credit score could be a misleading metric when assessing the credit worthiness of a small business. The first, your personal credit score is about how you pay your personal bills, not your business obligations. The personal credit score, or the FICO score, was originally designed to evaluate borrowers applying for a long-term home mortgage or auto loan. Mortgage lending credit is heavily tilted toward viewing someone as a consumer, writes Charles Green, a 35-year small business lending veteran, in a recent book written for bankers called The Banker's Guide to New Small Business Finance. Such orientation is different in many respects than business lending, but FICO scores are cited as the reason to decline business loan applications. These borrowers are often punished by credit denial or higher interest rates due to what some might objectively define as a lender's misplaced reliance on the FICO score beyond what the analytics may merit, he says. In other words, how consumers use credit and how businesses access credit are not the same, and it might not make sense to rely exclusively on a personal credit score as a reason to deny access to business credit. And while your personal credit score is a great measure of how you have historically paid your credit card bills, your home mortgage, your cell phone, or your auto loan, it doesn't reflect the profitability of your business or how much money you have in your business's bank account. Using a business owner's personal credit score as a go-no-go measure of business creditworthiness may be easier for lenders, but it also makes it easier to ignore other metrics that could help predict whether or not a business owner would repay a loan on time and could potentially lure some lenders into a false sense of security regarding the quality of the loans that they do approve. The second item is that lenders need to include other metrics to get a more complete picture. Now, while personal credit scores should likely be a part of the equation, if a lender automatically rejects a loan application because of a low personal credit score, they may be rejecting an otherwise good small business loan customer for all the wrong reasons. Other metrics that would complete the picture might include things like annual revenue, monthly cash flow, and other financial metrics for the business. Lenders may also consider other business attributes and non-financial information like industry and market position. And there are circumstances when a very successful business owner might have a less than perfect personal credit score. This can be particularly true with young businesses that are compelled to rely on personal credit to fund business initiatives because they are denied business credit. For example, if you max out a personal credit card because you can't get business financing to pay for monthly business expenses, could go negatively and impact your personal credit score, a high debt-to-credit ratio. Even if you pay off the balance at the end of every payment period, basically creating a vicious cycle where a business owner's personal credit score goes down, making it even harder to get a small business loan. The continued reliance on personal credit may push the credit score down even further. And the third facet here is great personal credit doesn't always equate to a healthy, thriving business. Now, all businesses are not the same. Some are more successful, parentheses, profitable than others, regardless of the business owner's personal credit score. If lenders fail to go any further than a review of the potential borrower's personal credit score, it's possible they may approve a loan to a floundering business owner with a great personal credit score while rejecting the loan application of a business owner with a thriving and profitable business because the owner has a blemished personal credit score. Personal credit scores can be misleading because without the whole picture, including information like business profitability and cash flow, it's too easy for loan officers to make bad decisions about which loans to approve and which loans to reject. It's unlikely that the benefit of maintaining a good personal credit score will ever go away for small business owners. Nevertheless, as a small business owner, you need to be prepared to tell the whole story. While many lenders heavily rely on your personal credit score when making loan decisions, there are others that will dig a little deeper to learn more about your business when you apply for a loan. If you're prepared to talk about the overall health of your small business, it will likely improve the odds of success when you apply. But if you can't, it makes it easier for lenders to rely on a metric, a personal credit score, that doesn't paint the full picture. All any lender evaluating your business loan request really wants to know is that you are able to repay a loan and that you will repay the loan. Your personal credit score is just one lens to help them look into the future by reviewing the past. When we come back, we're going to talk about how to build your business through public speaking. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hello, this is psychic medium Trish Woods with the program Afterlife Real Life that airs every Thursday from 1 to 3 p.m. My co-host is psychic medium Jane Davidson from the United Kingdom. We have listeners and callers from all over the world. We're looking forward to hearing what you want to know about with metaphysics, spirituality, personal spirit experiences, psychic work, and more. From 1 to 3 p.m. every Thursday, you can call in or tune in, asking Jane and I your questions, your personal ideas, and maybe getting help with your own personal life. Afterlife Real Life, every Thursday, 1 to 3 p.m.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You got a friend.
Are you interested in learning more about Hunterdon County? Are you interested in growing as a professional and as a leader? Then Leadership Hunterdon may be for you.
Hi, this is Chris Bianco, class of 2014 Leadership Hunterdon. Work with other local dedicated professionals to learn about the complexities and interconnectedness of Hunterdon County.
We invite you to visit one of our many upcoming sessions as we begin to recruit the class of 2016.
Learn from and connect with established business, government, and community leaders.
Leadership Hunterdon, an in-depth 9-month program offered by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce.
And honored via invitation to help Hunterdon County with its challenges and shape its future. These are just some of the virtues of being part of Leadership Hunterdon.
Contact us at 908-782-7115 or visit our website, HuntingtonChamber.org, for more information today. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to hold its second annual Hunterdon County Community Day on Saturday, June 13th from 12:30 to 6:30 at the Hunterdon County Fairgrounds in Ringo's. We thank our presenting sponsor, Hunterdon Healthcare, and the Hunterdon County Freeholders. Come get involved, be a vendor, an exhibitor, if you're a business or an organization. Come get before thousands of folks on this great day. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org. Once again, join us on Hunterdon County Community Day, Saturday, June 13th. Get involved with your community today.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gannot, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington. And we'll be together for about the next 40 minutes as we talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Well, one of the ways that you can help build your business is through public speaking. And there are a lot of people out there that have an absolute fear or phobia of public speaking, my wife included, and if they know that they have to speak in front of a crowd, then they know that it's just going to, the four, 3 or 4 days prior, they're just, their stomach is tied in knots. But you've probably heard that public speaking is a good tool for building your business. You give a talk and the thinking goes, and clients will be impressed enough with your ideas that they'll hire you. But does it really work? Angela Lussier is an entrepreneur who put this practice to good use. In 2009, she quit her job as a recruiting firm to follow her true passion and become a career coach. She knew it was the right decision, but her economic situation was precarious. She only had $2,000 in the bank. She says, "I had to act fast to build this thing." And it turns out she did it entirely through public speaking, even though at the time it was her greatest fear. Lussier reached out to all of the local college career centers offering to do free workshops. She figured they might be interested in a former recruiter who wanted to provide career tips for graduating seniors, but most of them didn't even return her messages. She shifted her focus to pitching local libraries on her workshops. One person said, "Well, how long have you been in business?" When she said, "Since Monday," not surprisingly, they weren't interested either. With bills to pay, however, she didn't have a choice. She had to keep dialing. And after she called nearly 30 libraries in her region and been rejected by all of them, one finally said yes. When they asked how many workshops Lussier wanted to offer, she immediately realized she could leverage it into a series. So without any materials developed, she announced that she would do 8 sessions. The librarian followed up, "Can you do one series in the afternoon for people who are unemployed and another at night for people who do have a job?" And Lussier quickly agreed. She called back the other libraries and pitched her workshops again, this time leveraging the social proof of her one engagement to win other gigs. And within a week, she'd booked 32 workshops over the next 2 months. She created the content for the workshops quickly and started delivering them, sometimes up to 3 times a day. She spoke to almost every kind of group, from Rotary clubs to women's groups, to college students. She recalls sweating, stuttering, and turning red in front of early audiences. And she joined Toastmasters and willed herself to practice and improve. "I realize," she says, "that most successful people were the communicators. And if you don't speak up, no one who knows what you have to offer, and you'll be left behind." And she made a promise to herself that she would learn how to speak publicly. Over the first year, she said, "I probably did 500 workshops. Her marketing efforts paid off. People started coming to me and saying, 'I want to hire you,' and that was how she built her business." Public speaking may not be the right business development choice for everyone, but for Angela Lussier and her example, it does show that it is possible to use it as a tool to attract new clients and create a powerful pipeline, even if it seems terrifying at first. And we've talked many times on the program here about the need, either through posts on LinkedIn or through blogging, or other forms, how it's important to get your name out there. And so hopefully public speaking may be a way for you to improve your chances in business success as well. During the preview, I talked about how you can use Twitter marketing for your small business. So here's 10 tips to creating better tweets. Now, Twitter is one of the most popular social connection websites where people interact in small 140-character status messages. This is known as microblogging, and it can be used as a whole new way of connecting with customers and fans of either your product or your services. And there are right and wrong ways techniques to use Twitter. to market your small business, and you can gain a lot of advantage over your competitors who do not now use internet technology to market their businesses. I want to read that again, because when I'm talking with other crown stores or other business owners, I ask them, what are your competitors doing in their marketing efforts? And some may say, well, you know, Joe has a newspaper ad, or I saw a flyer in one of the coupons or something like that. But not many people have really embraced the internet technology that's available today. And I think that if you get in early, establish a following, then the others are literally just followers, even if it's a competitor. So the first thing that they're telling you to do of the 10 tips is to provide relevant information in your tweets. Tell your followers about promotions, sales, and special coupons, and supply information that you know your fans will be looking for. The second step is to know your product or service. Having a little expertise will go a long way in answering questions and updating your Twitter with tweets. Number three, post frequently, but do not spam. Again, your tweets should be relevant to information your customers would be interested in. If you post too much, it will cross the line to spamming and become annoying to your users, who might stop following you altogether. Number four, communicate with your customers. Answer questions and reply, and give the customers opportunities to interact with you. This will help local customers feel comfortable buying your products or using your service and make your business familiar and friendly. Conversations with customers do not always have to be relevant to your product. However, you should not get carried away either. Your small business promotion page is not your personal Twitter page. Number five, become involved in casual conversation. However, don't be too casual. Use correct spelling and grammar and maintain a business-oriented appearance while being open and friendly. Number six, make total use of your account by updating your profile page with information and pictures. Number seven, start up a marketing plan to help you keep track of what kind of promotions you will use and keep track of the effectiveness of your techniques. I know that when Russ and Tom were in here from SBC Communications a few years ago, tracking your metrics, tracking what was working, having that action plan was key to seeing what's actually working. Start conversations by tweeting questions or polls and gain responses from your followers. Number nine, promote your products, but do so in moderation. Again, shameless self-promotion can lead to a spam and a loss of followers. And finally, number 10, find Twitter feeds that are related to your business so that you can generate traffic to your Twitter page and find new followers who are interested in your business. The key to using Twitter effectively to market your small business is to be interesting and informative to your followers or customers. Be sure to be professional yet casual, and avoid becoming a nuisance by having too much of a presence. Your followers can be informed of special events or promotions from your business without being overwhelmed by information that they're just not interested in. So a couple of great techniques on the use of Twitter. One of the things that I think that I have to start doing is getting more online with Instagram. It seems like that's the way everything's going. And I had an interesting conversation with one of the VPs up at our corporate office the other day. And the traditional method of marketing was to go out, meet with coaches, meet with leagues, hand out catalogs and things like that. But now what I'm finding is that I am receiving orders as text messages on my cell phone, on Facebook Messenger, or on my Facebook page. That could be either my personal page or my Crown Trophy page. We're getting Twitter inquiries about product. We're still getting email inquiries and orders. The other day, I got an order on the fax machine. I didn't even know it was still plugged in, but an order came through. So it seems as if the spectrum of the way that people are able to connect with you is growing, and the popularity of each or the ease of use of each is now going to be their preferred method of communication. So I said to Scott, you know, where we're at right now is okay, but where will we be in 5 to 10 years? And I'm really afraid that as the younger generation, that millennial generation, as they age out or age up, and let's say in the next 5 to 10 years, they become, now they're college graduates, and now they're going to start families, and then they're going to be the baseball coaches and the football coaches and the hockey coaches and the dance instructors. How are they going to want to do business? They're afraid to talk on the phone now. So how will they communicate with us then? Will we see more of an influx of orders coming through social media? You know, do they even know how to use a fax machine? Are they going to rely on email? They're saying that email use is going down. So will it become in business necessary to hire somebody who's going to monitor your social pages day in and day out almost 24/7 so that you don't lose orders along the way because someone either has a question or an inquiry and you're just not able to follow along. So it's going to be interesting to see how the business climate changes over the next couple of years. But for right now, I think that it's something that you have to be aware of and you have to educate. I'm 53 and us old folks have to be aware of what the younger folks are using. And it doesn't hurt to ask a high school kid, a recent college graduate, what are the methods you're using to communicate with others? And then how would be the best way for you to do business with a business down the road? And Scott gave a great statistic about how one handshake turns into, I have to have him explain it to me again, but it was like, one handshake was worth 100 emails or meeting in person was worth 100 emails and just a handshake was worth 50. So it's just going to be an interesting dynamic how business changes over the next 5 to 10 years and beyond as we look into more reliance on social media. I'm going to step away, take a quick break, come back with the weather. When we come back, we're going to talk about 3 tips for getting PR for your company. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to hold its second annual Hunterdon County Community Day on Saturday, June 13th from 12:30 to 6:30 at the Hunterdon County Fairgrounds in Ringo's. We thank our presenting sponsor, Hunterdon Healthcare, and the Hunterdon County Freeholders. Come get involved, be a vendor, an exhibitor, if you're a business or an organization. Come get before thousands of folks on this great day. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org. Once again, join us on Hunterdon County Community Day, Saturday, June 13th. Get involved with your community today.
Do you need a great sign to promote your business or organization? Signs by Crown of Flemington is your local professional sign shop and can provide you with high-quality banners, lawn signs, vehicle graphics, pop-up displays, window graphics, wall lettering, magnets, and much more. Signs by Crown can help you with the design, layout, creation, and installation of your signs. Signs by Crown is located inside Crown Trophy at 33 Rayville Avenue in Flemington. Remember, if you have something to say, say it with a sign from Signs by Crown. Listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Taking a look at the weather for today, it'll be sunny with abundant sunshine, beautiful blue skies, and a high of 73 degrees and a low of 43. For tomorrow, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 74 degrees and a low of 54. For Saturday, mostly sunny skies with a high of 83 and a low of 59. And for Sunday, mostly sunny skies and a high of 83 degrees and a low of 57. One of the topics that a lot of my fellow store owners talk about is what I always talk to them about when they question how we are so successful, how we're experiencing double-digit growth every year, is the marketing that we do and the promotion that we do. And I know I've said this 1,000 times, but my number one rule in business, always be promoting. And you could slash that and say, always be marketing. And they're like, well, I get a million excuses why they can't market. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough money. I don't know how to write a press release. I don't know how to create a nice ad campaign. I get the I can't excuses till I want to just, you know, throw up. And I'm like, do something. And I'll go back again to Russ and Tom when I think it was Tom who said, even something as simple as a flyer that you stick under somebody's windshield wiper is marketing. But you have to do something. And the stores that tell me that they can't are always experiencing stagnant or negative growth. And the stores that do market and that do promote themselves will see an uptick in sales. So here are 3 tips that's designed to get you PR for your business. I was recently speaking to someone who was talking about Sarah Davidson, who runs a company called Hello Fearless, a school for female entrepreneurs. And she, the first words out of this person's mouth were, man, Sarah is killing it. She's all over the media. And it's true. She is killing it. But those media hits are an optic. When you get media exposure, not only does it draw people to your site and earn you business, it makes you appear to be more credible, more successful, and who doesn't want that? In fact, the famed Guy Kawasaki recently came out in support of public PR as the way to get the most bang for your marketing buck. Brands are built on what people are saying about you, not what you're saying about yourself. People say good things about you when A, you have a great product, and B, you get people to spread the word about it. Let's talk the word referrals for a few minutes. So, but how do you get the media exposure for your business if you don't have the money to hire a PR firm? So here are three tips. The first is know your target audience and where they get their information. We talked about this earlier with Twitter. This may seem simple, but it's the most important tip. Who is your target audience? How old are they? What do they care about? Where do they get their news and information? Once you know that, really dive deep into the media that your audience consumes. For example, have you designed the newest portable smartphone charger and want to market it to millennial women and tech-savvy men? Then you should probably pay close attention to Brit.co and Pop Sugar Tech, as well as Engadget and Gizmodo. I recommend creating a Twitter list with the journalists in your coverage area. Journalists are really active on Twitter, and you can build relationships with them by retweeting and favoriting their content. This tactic also gives you insight into the topics that they cover so that you can pitch them more effectively. Catalog these contacts into a media list. Create a spreadsheet with several columns, including their first name, last name, the publication that they work for, or parentheses publications, as now many are affiliated with conglomerates, like Hunterdon County Democrat is affiliated with NJ.com, which is owned by the Star-Ledger and the Easton Express. So know their publication. Know their title. You know, are they the tech editor, the managing editor, the senior writer? Know their email address and their phone number, and then make a section for notes so you can note their preferences and other information. You know, like they covered your competitor last year, or they don't like to be pitched on Wednesdays. And then create the perfect pitch. Now, this is where it gets a little crazy. To pitch the media, you have to present your contact with a story idea that integrates your business but isn't overly promotional. The story ideas that are most effective have the following elements. They fit into the same type of information that your target journalist normally covers. They tie into a national trend, i.e. for tech, maybe big data, Internet of Things, wearables. They're timely, and they present a clickable idea or headline. Think like a journalist. What do their readers care about? What type of story will generate the most clicks? And the harsh truth is, no one cares about your company. Seriously, if you send an email to a journalist to tell her about how great your company is, it will get deleted immediately. However, if you're able to tell her how your product or service solves a major problem or fits into a broad trend, now you're cooking with gas. The best practices for pitching the media include to send a pitch via email with a provocative subject line. Journalists get thousands of emails a day. How does yours stand out? And this goes back to what I said a few weeks ago. You have to be different to be remembered. Keep it brief, 1 to 2 short paragraphs and nothing more, and get to the point immediately. Follow the inverted pyramid style of writing. Present the most important facts first. End the email with an offer for an interview or to provide more information. If you send a pitch that accompanies a press release, embed the press release in the body of the email rather than sending a Word document or PDF as an attachment. If you send an attachment, your email could end up in their spam box. Offer a contributed article. Media outlets often run on a lean staff. They need contributed content in order to satisfy their hungry audience. Draft an insightful piece that is relevant to the publication's audience and offer it to the editor as a guest post or contributed article. Often, publications will post blogger or contributor guidelines. Check those out to determine tone, word count, and any other requirements that may be necessary. If you find a publication that doesn't require the post to be exclusive to their site, then you could repost content from your blog, and that's how you can link back to your site. It's absolutely brilliant. Most contributed articles should be between 500 and 1,000 words. Start the article in an interesting way by telling a story or presenting surprising statistics. Write in the inverted pyramid style, presenting the most important facts first, and also organize your article with subheads to break up the content so readers can easily access the information they're looking for. Consider a listicle format of or tips article, such as 5 ways to be more productive or 10 tips for writing clickable headlines. So, again, use the media, use whatever you can to get PR going for you. Also, don't be shy about if you're sponsoring an event, let them know you're the sponsor. And also tie in with any other organizations. So if there's a big event coming up in your town and you've signed on to be a sponsor, make sure you're getting the maximum exposure. Are you listed on the website as a sponsor? Are there T-shirts being handed out where your logo or your company name could be put on it? But make sure that as they're promoting themselves, they're also promoting you. Well, there are four critical website elements that most businesses are missing. And as I went through this article, I realized every one of these was a pet peeve of mine when I'm visiting a website of one of my vendors. As we go through this next story, I want you to also think about your own company's website and make sure that you're not missing any of these elements. Now, here's a question for you. When was the last time you visited a website and you left after only a few seconds? And if you're like me, chances are you did this a few times just this morning. Great websites are key to attracting and retaining visitors. And these days, entrepreneurs have numerous tools at their disposal. Squarespace, Wix, Weebly for creating sharp, impressive, and mobile-ready websites easily and quickly. The problem is that these great resources are also creating a big issue, namely, how does one identify the most trusted, authoritative, and reputable websites? In its second annual survey, the 2015 B2B Web Usability Report, Huff Industrial Marketing and Co-Marketing sought to determine the website elements buyers really wanted from vendor websites, which were critical for retention and revisits and most likely to lead to conversions. The key takeaway, buyers want authenticity in business websites, and the most effective way to create authenticity is to demonstrate trust and credibility. The report went on to find that most businesses are overlooking easy opportunities to improve their websites and create that trust and credibility. So here are the four key and surprisingly simple elements most companies are missing on their website. Wait till you hear number one, which is contact information. According to the report's findings, 51% of respondents indicated that thorough contact information was the key website element missing from most websites. An astonishing 98% of respondents said that no contact information, no phone number, would cause them to leave the website. That was around 44%. Or be so annoyed that they might leave the website altogether at 54%. These days, buyers want and need to know that the site belongs to a real business with a real location, including your physical address with your phone number and email address. That's the best way to do this. Visitors also need to find your contact information easily. Burying it in small print and camouflaged in superfluous content sends a bad message, so make it clear, bold, and easy to find. With all your social media links in the footer of each page, if you create a separate contact page, make it easier for someone to find and navigate it. The second is an About You section in your website. Another important factor for creating trust and credibility is providing information about you, your team, and your company. 52% of respondents indicated that about/company information was information visitors most wanted to see on your homepage and best establish credibility, second only to contact information. So spend some time developing your company story and provide your visitors with detailed bios, backgrounds, histories, and even relatable personal stories of each key team member. Include links to each of their professional websites, such as LinkedIn and Twitter, as well as a clear, high-resolution picture, and you should consider hiring a photographer to take professional headshots. Another valuable element to establish credibility is to publish your client list and testimonials. This may not be possible in many cases and for many reasons, but nothing speaks to your value and credibility more than a long list of happy clients. Some people disagree with that because they fear that competition will look at their website and then try to go poach. So you have to be careful with that. And then for other reasons, sometimes there's privacy issues that prevent you from doing that. The third is to have appropriate content. Many entrepreneurs believe that having an engaging social media presence and creating regular blog posts are the keys to converting clients. And while these are useful strategies, the survey found that videos, social media activity, and blog posts rank lowest on content assets and create credibility. Instead, focus your marketing efforts on creating white papers, case studies, research reports, and articles that establish your credibility as an expert in your industry. Write often and leverage customer feedback to create fresh and relevant content that they want. For this information to permeate organically, you should consider providing it for free without requiring personal information, as the survey found that more than 70% of respondents indicated they would not be willing to provide their information to receive yours. And finally, keep it simple. While businesses continue to move to mobile-first strategies, especially given Google's recent search engine update that prioritizes mobile-ready sites, The survey found that for now, at least with business-to-business companies, 61% of respondents indicated that a mobile-friendly website did not impact their buying decision. Clearly, companies should not abandon a mobile strategy, nor should they rush to abandon their website strategy. Instead, entrepreneurs should embrace an approach that pursues both with the same strategy. Keep it simple. Resist the urge to load your site with content and limit it to only what your visitor needs. As websites improve and as more people consume content on mobile devices, we will all come to expect the same experience from our websites as we do from our mobile sites. Easy navigation and simple and responsive designs will not be enough. However, so businesses will need to rely more on creating and establishing authenticity to attract and convert visitors. Now ask yourself, how does your website's does your company's website compare? It's time for our final break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how naturally successful people do five things at work every day that keep them successful. We'll be right back.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntertonChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntertonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
And I'll be taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I'll be taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime. Work out.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. And before the break, I mentioned that we would talk about what successful people do, these five things at work every day that makes them so successful. And now, small tweaks on how quickly you fire off emails, take breaks, and ask questions can make all the difference in how happy, productive, and effective you are at work. Number one, they are 80% positive. Now, being blindly positive or perpetually negative can cause others to be frustrated or annoyed, or simply to tune you out. And this is why some of the best research on daily experience is rooted in ratios of positive and negative interactions. Over the last two decades, scientists have made remarkable predictions simply by watching people interact with one another and then scoring the conversations based on the ratio of positive and negative interactions. Researchers have used the findings to predict everything from likelihood a couple will divorce to the odds of a work team having high customer satisfaction and productivity levels. More recent research helps explain why these brief exchanges matter so much. When you experience negative emotions as a result of criticism or rejection, for example, your body produces higher levels of the stress hormone cortisol, which shuts down much of your thinking and activities or activates conflict and defense mechanisms. You perceive situations as being worse than they actually are. The release of cortisol is also a sustained response, so it lasts for a while, especially if you dwell on a negative event. When you experience a positive interaction, it activates a very different response. Positive exchanges boost your body's production of oxytocin, a feel-good hormone that increases your ability to communicate, collaborate, and trust others. Now, when oxytocin activates networks in your prefrontal cortex, it leads to more expansive thought than action. However, oxytocin metabolizes faster than cortisol, so the effects of a positive surge are less dramatic and enduring than they are for a negative one. We need at least 3 to 5 positive interactions to outweigh every one negative exchange. Bad moments simply outweigh good ones, whether you're having a one-on-one conversation with a colleague or a group discussion. So keep this simple shortcut in mind. At least 80% of your conversation should be focused on what's going right. Workplaces, for example, often have this backward. During performance reviews, managers routinely spend 80% of their time on weaknesses, gaps, and areas for improvement. They spend roughly 20% of the time on strengths and positive aspects. Anytime you have discussions with a person or group, spend the vast majority of the time talking about what is working and use the remaining time to address deficits. This is why I don't do performance reviews on a yearly basis. I do them on a daily basis. If we need to make a correction today, let's make the correction and move on. I go right to the solution. This way, when a year comes up, you should be working at peak performance. So we're usually in a good spot when it comes time to evaluate your production. Number two, keep your mission in mind. Reminding yourself why you do what you do every day can also make you a lot more productive. Consider what happened when Wharton School of Business professor Adam Grant first studied the motivation of call center workers who spent their days calling the school's alumni to request donations for future scholarship recipients. Given the job's degree of difficulty calling people in the evening and then asking them for money, it's a high level of turnover. Grant wondered if introducing call center workers to an actual scholarship recipient would provide additional motivation. So Grant and his fellow researchers brought in a scholarship recipient to speak with one group of these workers for a mere 5 minutes. A month later, the call center workers who had spoken with the scholarship recipient were remarkably more productive. This group made almost twice as many calls per hour. Before the intervention, each caller raised about $400 per week, and afterwards, they were raising close to $2,000. These successful people, in our third step, they focus for 45 and then break for 15. Now, when he was working on his book, Tim Walker, who's an American school teacher, began teaching fifth grade at public school in Helsinki, and what grabbed his attention was his skepticism about a nuance in the Finnish educational system. In Finland, for every 45 minutes in the classroom, students are given a 15-minute break. And at first, Walker resisted following this routine and instead kept his students in the classroom. But he eventually decided to test the 45-15 model, and he was astounded by the result. Kids were no longer dragging their feet in a zombie-like state. Instead, they walked into the room with a renewed bounce in their step after each 15-minute break, and they were more focused on learning throughout the day. Employing that in your personal work may help you get through the day a little quicker and make you more productive. Number four, use questions to spark conversation. Now, whether you struggle to strike up a conversation or it comes naturally, you will benefit from talking to new people. And I've learned that it's easier to start talking with people when I focus on asking good questions than to listen to the answers. Asking questions reduces my social anxiety because I no longer feel the need to say something interesting to join a conversation or fit in. Asking questions is even more effective when others may be skeptical of your influence or credibility or when you're engaged in a debate. So there again, just get the ball rolling by starting the conversation with a question. And number five, the successful people, they push the pause button before responding. Now, when you face an immediate or an acute stressor, your instinct is to fight back and respond immediately. And while this served your ancestors well when they were being attacked by a wild animal, it is less helpful today unless you're actually being attacked physically. Technology makes it much easier to exacerbate a stressor with a quick response. I know I've been guilty of responding too quickly to people, on email and particularly, in a terse tone that only made things worse. This morning I had to respond to a woman. I wrote the response at about 7 in the morning, went out to pick up some materials, came back to the office around 10, and then I had two people on my staff read it. Both of them said, "It's a little strong, you need to back down." So when I rewrote it, they said, "Okay, that gets the point across." So sometimes just hitting that pause button could be the difference between losing a customer and damaging a relationship forever or keeping the customer and moving forward in a positive way. So take a moment to gather your thoughts and then have a rational discussion. This will give you time to think things through and determine a way to deal with the other person in a healthier manner. So just a couple of tips on what successful people do every day that helps them not only get through their day but be more productive in the process. I have got papers all over the studio right now, so now I have to figure out what it is that we're going to talk about for the next 5 minutes. Well, let's do this one. There are five kinds of people who will help you succeed as an entrepreneur, and When I use the term entrepreneur, I'm talking about a business owner. You don't have to come up with the newest, greatest thing that you're going to pitch on Shark Tank. It's just more the fact that you're kind of out there on your own, running your own business. Now, in many ways, entrepreneurship or running your own business is about achieving independence because you won't have a boss anymore. You won't have a network of supervisors and coworkers to set your schedule or monitor your success. And instead, you'll become a master of your own destiny, and you'll become accountable only to yourself for your ongoing actions. That independence can also be a curse. The fact of the matter is that even though entrepreneurship is an independent act, and most successful entrepreneurs in the world only got to where they are because of the help they received from the people around them, you'll be making your own decisions and carving your own path. But if you want to be as effective as impactful as possible, you have to rely on a few types of people to get you there. Number one, mentors you admire. Mentors are indispensable resources for entrepreneurs, especially if you're starting a business for the first time. Most business entrepreneurs have owned multiple businesses in the past and have made more mistakes and learned more lessons than you can imagine. They'll help you by providing advice, perspective, and guidance whenever you need it, often for nothing. You also want to get partners that you respect. So whether you're forming a partnership to run the business together or you're simply finding other businesses to join forces with, finding partners you respect is critical to increasing your chances for entrepreneurial success. With the foundation of mutual respect, business partnerships are less likely to succumb to the usual weaknesses such as bickering, manipulation, and general selfishness. Number three, and this is important, employees you can trust. A business can't succeed with leadership alone. You'll need to have a dedicated, reliable network of employees to help you execute the day-to-day operational responsibilities of your venture. They're going to serve as a vehicle for your directive, so you need to trust that they can accomplish the task that you set out for and at least communicate when they find themselves unable. Number four, you need to have friends that you would make time for. Your friends will help you through your entrepreneurial journey more than you realize, but only if you allow them to. Once you get in the thick of things as an entrepreneur, it's too easy to sacrifice your personal relationships. Working long hours and on weekends is a necessary evil at times, but it's also important to draw a line and take some time for yourself. And number five, this is one my old boss Barry used to tell all the time, you have to have a family that supports you. Never neglect the power and importance of your family. They were there for you before you started the business, they're there for you now, and they'll be there for you regardless of whether your company becomes a breakout success or a total failure. Don't be afraid to share your problems, fears, worries, and challenges. Holding these issues in can make you even more stressed and could alienate you from your family even further. So take regular time off to be with your family and keep them an active part of your entrepreneurial journey. Hey, I don't know if you saw it, but last night was the return, or 2 nights ago was the return of The Prophet on CNBC with Marcus Lemonis. And here he was helping a drum company up in Massachusetts. And just, it's great to have Marcus back. I love watching this program. And I really took away, and I want to talk about this next week, but in production in particular, he said all production can be accomplished in 10 steps. So I'm going to rewatch the episode and I'm going to talk about how we're going to employ that in my business. And when I ran through a rough draft, we had the 10 steps down. Now it's just perfecting that process. I love perfecting processes and getting it so everything runs smoothly. So we'll share that with you hopefully next week. In sports, in NASCAR, Old Six-Time won for the third time this year. Last week at Kansas Motor Speedway in the SpongeBob SquarePants 400. This week, the teams will head to Charlotte Motor Speedway for the Sprint Showdown on Friday night, followed by the Sprint All-Star Race on Saturday. Kevin Harvick is the overall points leader, followed by Martin Truex Jr., Jimmy Johnson, Joey Logano, and Dale Earnhardt Jr. Kyle Busch announced on Twitter that he will make his return to Sprint Cup racing this weekend after missing 11 races during the All-Star Race. NASCAR has also announced that Busch will be eligible for the season-ending chase for the Sprint Cup if he wins a race despite missing 11 races so far due to injury sustained in an Xfinity race at Daytona in February. In the NFL, word came out late yesterday that there was evidence that the Patriots did, in fact, deflate 11 of 12 balls during their game against the Indianapolis Colts. As a result, Tom Brady has been suspended for the first four games of next season. The team has been fined $1 million and will lose a first-round draft pick this year and a fourth-round pick in the year after. The NHL playoffs, the Chicago Blackhawks won their series against Minnesota and will now face the Anaheim Ducks in the next round of the playoffs. The Rangers won their series last night against the Capitals and will now face the Tampa Bay Lightning in their next round. In the NBA, the Hawks are playing the Wizards, Golden State Warriors are playing the Memphis Grizzlies, the Cavaliers still playing the Bulls, and the Rockets are playing the Clippers. In Major League Baseball, in the American League, the Yankees, Royals, and Astros lead their respective divisions in the American League, while the Mets, Cardinals, and Dodgers lead their divisions in the National.
In golf, Rory McIlroy won a three-way playoff last week to win the Players' Championship. And say what you want about Tiger Woods, but last week he wrote an encouraging letter to a 14-year-old boy who had tried to commit suicide that has encouraged the young man about his future. You can see the letter online, but the last two sentences summed it up. And I thought he showed a lot of class when he wrote, "You have a great family and big fans like me on your side. Be well and keep fighting. I'm certain you'll be great at anything you do." The horse American Pharoah is the 4-5 favorite as he goes for the second leg of the Triple Crown in the Preakness Stakes this Saturday. As always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, "Never let it rest until your good is better, and your better is best." If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com or connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter, at JimGano83, or on Facebook. I'm Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody. And I'll be taking care of business.